When I was younger, I dated a bit throughout high school and in my young adult life, and I was pretty superficial, but I had this checklist, and depending on how the date went, if the girl met my checklist requirements, then I would pursue her further, and if not, I would end things pretty soon. But after I encountered Jesus and really became a disciple of the Lord and grew my relationship with him, I continued to have a checklist, but it changed. It was no longer just based on appearance and personality, but now it was based on her being a virtuous woman, a woman who would draw me closer to heaven, a woman who would call me to prayer, a woman who cared about the poor, who wanted to grow in relationship with God and be the saint that she was called to be and help me become the saint I was called to be. But also during this time, I was perceiving that God was inviting me to be a priest. And so I was discerning priesthood. And whenever I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a priest, I'm going to do this whole priesthood thing, that's whenever I met the girl of my dreams. I mean, she met every single thing on my checklist that I could have ever imagined, both on a superficial level, but also on the supernatural level. And we were friends, and I was just like, God, why now? Like, why right whenever I make the decision that I'm ready to be a priest, would you bring this girl into my life? I remember one time we were at this Christian event together, and we're listening to praise and worship music, and we're praising God. And at this time in my life, I worked out a little bit more back then than I do now, so I had some more muscles. And so she was to my right, and so as I was praising God, I wanted her to see my muscles. So I made sure I lifted up my shirt and flexed as I praised Jesus so she can see, you know. Yeah, okay. So obviously, I don't have those anymore, right? The Lord has humbled me. No, but it was terrible. I was using God to get the girl. But anyways, I brought it to my spiritual director, and just through the sermon prayer, I realized, like, I wasn't created for the sacrament of marriage. You know, like, my heart was created for the church. And if I would have pursued her in that sacrament, she'd be miserable because she would know the whole time we were together that I desired to be a priest and serve the entire body of Christ, the entire church, and not just her. But just like I had a checklist growing up, God also has a checklist. Because Jesus Christ, who is God, is the bridegroom. Right? There's a wedding that we've all been created to enter into. A spousal union each and every single person in this church was created for. And when we die and go to heaven, we're called to enter into a wedding feast of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb of God? Who? Jesus. We're called to enter into the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus, the bridegroom. Well, if he's the bridegroom, who is his bride? The church. And who is the church? Us. We are all created to marry Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're called to enter into. That's what our walk toward eternity is all about. It's about us marrying God in the kingdom of heaven. But God has a checklist. He has desires. And he wants for us to work towards fulfilling this checklist. And he reveals this checklist to us in the Old Testament today in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. A lot of people read Proverbs 31, and on a natural level, it's about a natural wife. But in the supernatural realm, it's about the bride of Christ, the church. And what does Jesus Christ reveal to us in Proverbs 31? What are some of the characteristics that he is absolutely looking for in his eternal bride in the kingdom of heaven? He's looking for four things, essentially. Number one, he's looking for a bride that's going to be a faithful bride, right? In the text, it says that the husband can trust his wife with anything. In order to trust someone, you have to have fidelity. Whenever there's infidelity, what happens? The trust is broken. God wants to be able to trust us. In order for him to trust us, we have to be faithful to him. One of the greatest saints in our church's history, St. John Vianney, he was a priest who served a community in France, and he was sent to this parish that was dying. When he got there, he was so holy, he completely transformed the entire town. But he was a priest who his bishop, when he looked at him, he said, John Vianney, like, he's not going to do anything for our diocese. Why? He thought this because John Vianney really struggled with his studies in seminary. And he thought, you know what, I'm just going to send him to this parish that's dying because he can't do anything good for our church. But the thing is this, is John Vianney, when he was in school, even though he intellectually studied with academics, he was faithful to his studies. He didn't get it, didn't make sense to him, but he was faithful to spending his time focusing attentively on his studies. And because he was so attentive and faithful to his studies, when he entered into prayer, whether it was entertaining prayer or dry and boring prayer, he was able to be attentive and faithful to prayer. And because he was able to be faithful to God in prayer, he was able to be attentive and faithful to people whom he encountered outside of prayer, particularly people who were difficult to be around. He was faithful to them because he was faithful to God in prayer, and he was faithful to God in prayer because he was faithful to his natural duties of studies. The same thing applies for us as well. When we're faithful to small things, we'll be able to be faithful to supernatural things. That's the first quality God is looking for, is fidelity. The next quality God is looking for is love. The text says that the good wife goes out of herself for the good of her husband. Right? That is the Thomistic, St. Thomas Aquinas, definition of love. Going out of ourself for the good of the other. How do we go out of ourself for the good of the other who is God? Well, simply by fulfilling his commandments, by obeying his commandments. And we obey his commandments by entering into a deeper relationship with them, because whenever we enter into relationships with people, we care more about them and we don't want to hurt them. And so if I'm in a relationship with you, then what's going to happen is I'm going to care about what you care about. And if you care about commandments, then I'm going to care about commandments because of my relationship with you. The next quality that God's looking for in us, the church, his bride, he's looking for us to be diligent, to be hard workers. He says the faithful, good wife, what does she do? She works hard. She toils, right? Why does she work hard? Because when she works hard, she's not idle, right? Idle time, idleness is not a quality of a disciple of Christ. That is not a characteristic of a person who is called to be the bride of Christ. Why? Because when we're idle, that's the devil's playground. King David, when he was a young shepherd boy, he was diligent. He was diligent in his work in protecting the sheep. When he was a young man, he was diligent as a warrior. When he was a king in the early days, he was diligent in fighting battles with his army. But then what happened? He got comfortable. He started to get laid back. He said, I have some idle time on my hands. I'm not going to fight today. I'm just going to chill. And what happened whenever he didn't do any work, when he was just chilling? Well, he started to lust in his imagination about this woman named Bathsheba who lived down the street. Then after he was lusting about her in his mind, he committed adultery with her in his actions. She was married. After that, he got her husband drunk, lied to him, got him killed. All because he was idle in his time, because he was not diligent. When we are not diligent, it would not benefit us or anyone else in our community. And the final characteristic that God desires in his bride is for us to be generous, with the poor. We work hard ourselves so that we can be generous with others who are sick, suffering, and poor. This is a constant theme throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New. Jesus Christ makes it very clear. We cannot be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if we are not in intentional relationships with our brothers and sisters who are poor, who need food, who need drink, who need clothes, who are in prison, who are strangers. We must be in relationship with them to be in a relationship with him. So how can we, as parishioners at Holy Rosary, cultivate these characteristics in our life now so that we can, in essence, console the heart of Jesus and show him that we know we're called to be his spouse in the kingdom of heaven, but we're actively working towards that. We can do four things. The first thing that we can do is be faithful ourselves. If we're a student in school right now, be faithful to studies, right? Be faithful in class. Don't get on the cell phone. Don't text during class. Don't get on Facebook, but be faithful to our studies in class. Again, so that in imitation of John Vianney, we can be faithful to God in prayer. And in our fidelity to God in prayer, we can be faithful to God in his people, who quite often are very difficult. Then after that, we can show our love to God. How do we show love to God? Of course, by obeying his commandments. How do we obey his commandments? By entering into a deeper personal relationship with him. How do we practically do that this week? Well, this week we can say, God, every day this week, I'm going to set my alarm 5 minutes earlier, just 5 minutes earlier, so I can have intentional time with you, so I can show you I'm prioritizing time with you. And during that 5 minutes, I'm going to pray a rosary. Or during that 5 minutes, I'm going to pray with the Bible. Or during that 5 minutes, I'm going to listen to praise and worship music. Or whatever it might be, but I'm going to give that first 5 minutes to you, God. And if I already have a consistent prayer life, then I'm just going to add 5 minutes to whatever it is to show God, I want to spend more time with you because you're important to me. And I trust that the more I spend time with you, the more I'm going to want to fulfill your desires and obey your commands. Then the next characteristic that we can do is we can be generous with someone in our community. We all have someone in our family who is lonely, who struggles with depression, who is sick, who is suffering, someone in our neighborhood, someone in our geographical boundaries that we can reach out to this week. So today when we go home, we need to write down, one day this week, I'm going to give 15 to 20 minutes to that person. I'm either call them or I'm going to go by their house and I'm just going to listen to them so they can know that they're not alone and they are heard. I'm going to be generous with my time. And to make sure that we do these things, I'm going to be diligent this week by inviting a friend of mine who I know who loves me more than I love myself. And I'm going to ask that person to hold me accountable, to hold me accountable to being faithful to my studies, to being faithful to my job at work, to being faithful to my duties at home, if that's what my responsibilities are. I'm going to ask this person to check on me, to hold me accountable to spending more time with God in prayer so that I can love him more. And I'm going to ask this person to hold me accountable to going out of myself and being generous with someone in our community who is suffering far worse than I am suffering. We do this, why? Because ultimately, Jesus Christ fulfills our desires. He quenches our thirst. He satiates the ache in our hearts when we allow him. If he does all this for us, because he's our bridegroom, the least that we can do for Jesus Christ is we can begin to show him that we want to work towards fulfilling the checklist that he has made very clear to us through his sacred scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31.